Hello, everybody. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And guess what? I have a question for you. How often do you experience discontent over something? If you're like most people, you are discontent with a number of things each and every day. From our politics to our cappuccinos, discontent emerges within all of us. So what is it saying? In this podcast and post, I explore why so many of us have learned how to ignore our feelings of discontent. I then offer why ignoring these feelings is not always the best approach. Join me now as we see beyond our discontent and explore why it just may be the answer to our prayers. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in yet to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to Sunday. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, and I'm so glad that you're joining me today on this podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling your friends about it. We all know somebody who could use this kind of content because it is different. It is the kind of stuff, at least I hope so, that you can use to have deeper conversations. And that's the whole point. So send it to somebody you know, someone you care about, someone you want to talk to. Then go have coffee and talk about it. Today we're going to talk about something that really impacts all of us. And the title of today's podcast is called Don't Ignore Your Discontent. Do not ignore your discontent. And let's face it, when it comes to feelings of discontent, we experience this probably every single day. I mean, we all feel it, though, at different levels. Sometimes it's just a minor annoyance, and other times it's a big deal. So what do? Right? We all feel it at some point in life. I mean, there comes that time when we're just done with our present situation, right? We go along in life and we're fine. And then just one day it hits us. Our sense of discontent is really, really strong. It's too strong to ignore. And we experience discontent in everything, large and small. You know, from the service at the local store, right, where you go up and there's the clerk, and they just have the lowest consciousness of anybody you've ever met, and you're wondering how they're even serving in front of the face of a customer. They can barely eke out a smile. They can hardly get anything done, you know, and that's the kind of person that you're going to deal with for some reason. You know, I don't know. It happens all the time. It happens in the products we buy, right? You see something that looks so great on Facebook or TV or in the store, and then you go and you buy it, and it's just a total disappointment, right? Maybe it's the relationships that we have. Maybe you've gone along in a relationship and you realize, maybe you've come to the place where you can honestly acknowledge that I'm not very satisfied here. I have discontent in this. And certainly within our own politics and leadership, your boss, people you work with, you know, whatever it might be, coaches, you know, you get discontent with that and what's happening and every single thing that's going on from day to day. Each and every day brings discontent. And it works in the background of our lives like a low-grade fever. And I don't know if you perceive that or not, but man, you just see some people and they live in so much dissatisfaction, so much discontent, that it's hard to even make them happy. They don't even think they can be happy, right? And life is a grind, and discontentment is a grind. It's a constant pressure that is creating internal stress within our lives, right? And so how do we go about handling that? I mean, what do we typically do? Well, I mean, when we experience discontent with a burrito, we just take it back and ask for another. Or do you? Are you one of those people that would never take food back? You would just sit there and eat the burrito with the wrong sauce or whatever. It was exactly the opposite of what you wanted, but oh well, I'll just eat it anyway. You know, if we don't like our computer or we don't like our phone or our car, we can certainly change all that, but it requires just a little bit more from us than it does going up and getting a burrito, doesn't it? I mean, taking back a product or re-exchanging it when it was a process to get it in the first place means that we're even more likely to settle for something we don't want. Like, if you're the type of person that won't take back a burrito, what are the chances that you're going to take back your phone in the first 30 days? You're more likely to just wait for the 2-year contract to expire and then you'll just get another one then. But what if your discontent is found in your career or your zip code where you live? Or what if it's in your marriage? What if you're discontent with your faith right now? You know, if it's something major, then change actually reaches a level of complexity where most people are not going to change. I mean, if the burrito was hard or the cell phone was harder, then, you know, changing your zip code, moving to another state where you might be happier, or making a change in a major relationship, or asking the really hard questions of your faith. That's just something most people won't do, ever. And as a result, they're going to live with discontent, and they're going to stuff it down. Feelings of discontent are not happy feelings. These are painful, frustrating. That's why I called it a grind. It's like a low-grade fever, and you don't want them, those feelings, all the time. So you push them aside. At least you try. And you see, the stress of big change is often more stressful than the discontent itself. So, you know, it's like you're more afraid of what could be than you are what is. So you just tolerate the discontent because it's not as bad as having to move or make that big logistical change. You see, discontent has a lot to do with personality. In what one person finds intolerable, another person is content to accept. Go back to the burrito. You know, one person is not going to pay $9 for a burrito and then have it not be perfect. Another person is like, well, I'll just eat it anyway. And that's personality a lot of times. Now, because of the variation between people, many have concluded that discontentment is just our inner whiner, right? If you ever seen the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, there's the young girl who tells her daddy, I want this, daddy, buy me an Oompa Loompa, or I want that, don't tell me no, you know. That her name is Veruca Salt. And a lot of people just kind of think that if you're discontent, you're just a whiner. You're a Veruca Salt. You're just a complainer. And let's face it, nobody likes a complainer, right? And I think there's a little self-message that we tell ourselves. Yeah, I don't want to be a whiner and a complainer, so I'll just settle. I'll just take it. And we actually, in our culture, have created kind of nobility around suppressing discontent. And we actually feel like, hey, if I just stifle this feeling and ignore it and put others in front of me, then I'm doing something spiritual. I'm doing something holy. I'm doing something great by suppressing my discontent. You know, and so personality has a lot to do with that. The way you structure your belief systems have a lot to do with that. What do you believe about being a complainer? Is it a complaint? Is it legitimate to complain? Or is life too good here in America by comparison to what others are living life that we should never complain about anything, right? Mood is another factor, right? Your internal resources on Monday morning might allow you to overlook the person who's cutting you off in traffic, while on the way home, your mood is completely different, and there's no way you're going to let somebody cut you off without some kind of horn honking or gesture in the window, right? Our mood changes, and what we can tolerate one moment, we can't seem to tolerate another, and so there's this fluctuation in who we are and how we act, which impacts our feelings of discontent. And so how can we trust something so passing or so fickle, right? I mean, we wouldn't want to be petty, but we also don't want to be a settler either. So what are we to do? You see, spirituality and life coaching, they spend a lot of calories leading people into contented lives, right? That's the whole goal. Make you happy, make you healthier, make you live at peace. And I get that. And wouldn't living at peace mean you're not discontent anymore? You see, now if these frameworks, within all those frameworks that you get in coaching and spirituality, and discontentment is, it's that dark force that we need to avoid. It's the sin above which we have to rise if we would be godly people who accomplish big things, right? I mean, if you're going to go places, you've got to somehow get over yourself and over your discontentment. You have to choose to be happy, right? Don't let circumstances impact you like that. Create your own circumstances, right? This is the narrative that's in that space. It's kind of a diminishment, again, of our discontent. And while I'm not diminishing the wisdom that admonishes us towards contentment with what we have, I mean, Scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that godliness with contentment is great gain, right? So there is something about just try to be content with what you have. And, you know, on that subject, I mean, just look at our city dumps. I mean, those are a powerful reminder of how our discontent has really overcome us in the arena of consumable goods, right? It's just boxes and boxes of plastic and junk and stuff we don't need, just filling our landfills. Why? Because we were discontent with one thing and got the next thing and went and got the next thing, not the next thing. And yes, discontent can become fuel that takes our selfishness and our pride to a toxic and destructive level. I know that discontent is that powerful. But I'm not talking about just the abuses and consumer goods here, right? I'm not just talking about boredom and moving on. I'd like to offer another consideration. One is that discontentment, our discontent is a portal. Discontent is an acknowledgement that we can imagine the world slightly better than it presently is. You see, whether we're talking about tacos or friendships, outfits or spouses, our discontent is a light that illuminates our ability to discern not just good and bad, but better from better still and better from best. It's the ability to discern. And that is what produces so much of our discontent. Like if you just thought you had the best thing ever, then you'd be content with it until somebody had that thing that was just slightly better. And it produces discontent, but it's not so much the materialism, although it can get at that. It's the recognition that you perceive the world slightly better than it presently is. So discontentment is a portal, both inward and outwardly. And inwardly, discontent opens up a moment of sobriety. It just kind of wakes us up to something that escapes us otherwise. See, if you're discontent with your job, you may find yourself just sitting in your car before work, sitting in the parking lot, just dreading on that day, I don't want to go in to Dunder Mifflin, right? You can do the Dwight Schrute, you know, psych yourself up with heavy metal and headbanging in your car before you get going. You know, but what is it that's within you saying, I really don't want to be here doing this right now? Is it just laziness, really? Are you just complaining? I mean, because people are out there without jobs and here you are with a job and you're complaining. So just suck it up, right? What is it that's saying, I really don't want to be here doing this? Or maybe you're just sitting in the moment of discontent and considering all the other things that you'd rather give your time to. You realize I'm here and my kids are there, and this is silly. This is not how it's supposed to be. See, this isn't just procrastinating. It's not daydreaming. You're not moping. You're not complaining. You're not distracting. Yes, all those things are possible, but can I just ask you to consider that this might just be a sacred moment where your life truly hinges in the balance? Discontent is a seed of change, and it becomes dreaming and whining when we do nothing about it. You see, it's the sitting in the car, not just the one time, but 10 months in a row, 2 years in a row, 4 years later, you're still sitting in the car looking up before work from the parking lot over your windshield saying, I just don't want to be here doing this. That is when it's a problem, right? Is it because you've just ignored the sacred moment for so long? See, this is why it's inwardly an issue. And this is why we must not ignore our discontent, especially if this is not the first time discontent has bubbled to the surface. I mean, going inward and exploring our true motivations and our heart's cry, our life's biggest wishes, those are core anchor points to which we need to hitch our life's winch. Right? We have to hitch our winch to something big, or else life gets boring. We get discontented. See, so if we ignore the vital inward soul work, then we have no choice but to forfeit the longings of our heart. This kind of giving up is the kind that is toxic to the soul. It's toxic to your true self. You see, the seed that grows greater discontent is this, right? This is the seed that grows greater discontent. It actually becomes a living hell, right? Ignoring our discontent produces more hell in our life. So outwardly, though, our discontent is the moment of change. I mean, right now is the only moment any of us can do anything about. You cannot change anything that has happened in the past. And the only thing you can do about the future is change something now to interrupt the flow of sequences that might bring about a future that you're stressing about. You see, you might feel trapped in a relationship, or you might feel trapped in a dead-end job. You might feel stuck in some kind of overly complex dynamic. But guess what? You're not trapped. You're not stuck. You're not in a prison. There are always options, and discontent forces us to explore them. I always say, and I've posted before, about how we all live in these little prison cells, but the cells only have three walls. The back wall is missing, and at any time, we can let go of the bars and just walk on out. You see, there's always options. And some solutions are certainly worse than the discontent itself. Let's just face it. There's not always a great, happy solution. It's not like you just walk out into freedom. No, you walk out of one prison, you may walk right into another. But we will never know unless we explore them, right? Discontent is that necessary pressure to finally say, or to finally externalize, what we've needed to say for a long, long time. How long have you felt something on the inside that you have never voiced, that you have just stuffed down? Maybe it's time you just said it. Now, if you say it, what's going to happen, right? Oh, all that you know about your life may come tumbling down. That is possibly true. But if this is a voice calling you to freedom, then maybe all that will fall to the ground is a false life. And what you'll discover in the ashes is your true self. That may be the case. You see, it's the moment of truth. It's the point at which nothing is the same afterwards, for better or for worse. And when you get to the point where you can live that honestly, then you have a freedom that the prison can no longer keep you in. So if we ignore our feelings of discontent, We stifle our internal and external change, particularly where we are the change agent. I mean, ignoring our discontent is to basically abdicate our power to change the world and to play the victim who lacks the power to change, right? It's settling. And while the world doesn't like a complainer, how do you feel about settling? Yes, our discontent will offend some, certainly. It's going to create problems for others and perhaps even more problems for ourselves. That may be true, but are those problems that can be solved later? I don't know, but you do. You see, it can only be done, and it can only solve and create problems for others only because it has the power to initiate real, lasting change. That's how powerful discontent actually is. Yes, it can mess everything up. It can deconstruct everything. And sometimes that's the most beautiful thing that could ever happen to your life. You see, it takes wisdom and it takes soul work to determine if our discontent is really about our comfort, in which case we might do well to just temper it. Or if it's a deeper loss of self, in which case we would do well to hear it. See, my best advice is to try not to land on either side of that fence. Just recognize that our discontent has the power to initiate huge change and then harness it for positive growth. Now, think about this for just a second. The progress of the world and every soul is birthed, at least in part, from discontent. When you imagine where a world where every shoe was terrible, right? They were uncomfortable, had no support, no traction. And then that discontent of wearing a terrible shoe just was unbearable, and you said, no longer am I doing that. I'm creating a new shoe. And then all of a sudden the world had good shoes. That's exactly how we've come to have such good shoes today. It's the same for computers. It's the same for cars. It's the same for our housing. It's the same for our programs and our ministries and the work in the world. The progress, the forward progress of the world is birthed at least in part from discontent. And so there's a sense in which you probably have been sitting in that car praying that God would answer some prayer and get you the heck out of there. And perhaps the answer has come in the form of discontent. It has the power to bring great change, but guess what? You're the change agent. You see, it's the privilege and the power of being an image bearer. It's part of the dominion mandate to be fruitful and multiply. It's the recognition that you can see good from bad and better from best. It's your ability to turn trees into homes. It's the turning of sand into silicone. So the next time that you are discontent, can I just encourage you to just sit with it? Be with your discontent. Hear where it is coming from. Go deeper with your discontent. If you do, what you do next could very well change the world, or at least your part of it.